Okay, I want you to picture this. Mark Cuban, billionaire investor, looking for his next big thing. Where is he looking? Not in endless meetings he famously hates.
Right.
Nope, he's in his email inbox. We're talking, seriously, over $100 million invested. Pitches received only by email. Sometimes he never even met the founders beforehand.
That's quite the statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the ultimate proof point. In this, world flooded with social media noise, AI chats popping up everywhere, that
Yeah.
number, that $100 million,
Yeah.
it just shows the inbox is still the heavyweight champ for serious B2B deals, business to business lead generation.
Absolutely. And that's our mission today, really. To cut through all that noise, we're going to dive deep into the sources, unpack this whole thing, and give you the blueprint for how these big scalable deals actually happen online. This is for you if you really need to understand how to use like efficiency and data, cubing style, to actually get results digitally. So when Cuban basically says his inbox is where serious business gets done, where trust happens, it's more than just messaging, right? It's like critical infrastructure.
Exactly. Infrastructure. And it's not just a feeling he has. The numbers, the actual data, they just make it undeniable. Email ROI, it leaves pretty much everything else in the dust.
Okay, yeah, let's get into those numbers because they really are pretty shocking when you see them side by side. What are we talking about?
Well, the industry benchmark figures, from the main data sources, they consistently show an average return of around $36 for every single dollar you put into email marketing.
$36 back for every $1 spent. Wow.
Yeah, it's like a whole different league compared to other channels that often get way more attention, maybe because they feel newer or trendier.
Okay, put that $36 next to, say, social media or paid ads. What do those look like?
So if you look at social media marketing, you're typically hoping for maybe 2 to 5 back per dollar, maybe. And paid search, PPC, things like that, often around the $2 to $4 mark as well.
So $2 to $5 versus 36, that's not even close.
Not even remotely close. And the reason for that massive gap, it's structural. It's baked into how email works. Permission, that direct line, the ability to track real intent.
That's structural advantage. That's the key, isn't it? It's not just about volume, it's about connecting smartly in a space where people expect business to happen.
Precisely. And think about who we're talking about, B2B decision makers. Their time is incredibly valuable. It's their scarcest resource, really. Email respects that asset.
How so? What makes it better for these, complex, high-stakes decisions?
Well, first off, it's direct and permission-based, generally
Smart.
speaking. You're not just like randomly interrupting someone's feed or their day. You're in their professional space, a space they control, often because they opted in or gave you their details.
Okay, so there's an implied trust level from the start.
Exactly. It feels more like an invitation, less like an intrusion, which is huge.
And for busy execs,
Yeah.
that flexibility must be massive too, right? They can't just drop everything for a notification.
That's the second big one. Asynchronous communication. B2B deals need thought. People need to review things, maybe share them internally. Email lets the decision maker do all that on their schedule, not yours.
Right. They can read it, digest it, maybe come back to it days later.
Exactly. Try sending a detailed proposal via some instant chat app. It just gets lost in the stream. Email holds the space for that considered response. It keeps the context.
And this is where it ties back perfectly to Cuban needing that searchable history, that proof, the data aspect.
Absolutely. That's the third piece. Email is inherently searchable and incredibly measurable. Every single click, every open, every reply, that's high quality data showing actual engagement.
Not just passive scrolling.
Not at all. It's active interest in specific business content. And that data flows right into your CRM, your analytics. It fuels segmentation, personalization, AI tools. It's the engine for smart growth.
Okay, let's bring it back to Cuban himself. He sees his inbox not as a burden, but as you said, a tickler file, a tool for peak efficiency. Only what matters, actionable stuff.
Right, and his famous hatred of meetings comes from the same place. Eliminate wasted time, wasted energy, focus.
So how does that mindset, his sort of personal operating system, translate into a B2B marketing strategy?
Well, it maps almost perfectly onto modern marketing automation. His rules for productivity, they're basically a blueprint for high leverage B2B marketing today.
Okay, interesting. Let's break that down. Give us Cuban rule number one and the marketing version.
Okay, first Cuban rule. Keep communication searchable and verifiable. He needs instant context on any deal, right? The marketing equivalent isn't just use a CRM. It's demanding CRM integrated email campaigns with really structured data. Think about subject lines, content structure. Design it not just for the human reader, but so the system and later the sales team can instantly retrieve all the history, the metrics, everything.
So designing for the database as much as the person. Got it. That implies moving away from generic stuff too.
Which leads straight to his second rule. Focus only on what matters most. Cut the noise.
And the marketing version.
Rigorous audience segmentation based on actual verified intent and potential value. You simply cannot afford to treat someone who just downloaded a top-of-funnel ebook the same as someone who viewed your pricing page 3 times.
Right.
Smart segmentation uses that behavioral data trail to make sure your most resource-intensive efforts, your most personalized outreach, only goes to your highest potential contacts. It's about focusing firepower.
Makes sense. And the third rule must be about automation efficiency.
Exactly. Automate the repetitive tasks. Don't have humans doing what machines can do better and faster. The marketing equivalent. Deploying smart, triggered, behavior-based workflows.
And smart is the key word there, yeah.
Absolutely. This isn't just about sending more email. It's about making sure your best outreach, the sequence you know works, gets replicated instantly and perfectly whenever a prospect signals intent through their actions. No manual send button needed. It's systemized intelligence.
Okay, so we've got the Cuban efficiency mindset. Now let's get practical. Let's talk process. How do we actually build this system to move someone from just being aware to being a genuinely sales-ready lead?
Right. The key thing to grasp is that B2B isn't usually a single interaction. It's a sequence. Success comes from a structured flow that nurtures, qualifies, and validates prospects along the way. It really takes 5 core steps in an automated system.
All right. Walk us through step one. Let's be specific.
Step one, define your ICP ideal customer profile and your buyer personas. I mean, really define them, not just tech companies. We're talking hyper specifics, the exact industry niche, the company size range that's actually profitable for you, the specific job titles of the people who control the budget and make the decisions.
Because resources are limited, like Cuban says, focus.
Precisely. If your target is too broad, your automation is just spraying noise. Nail the ICP first.
Okay, crystal clear on who we're after. Yeah. Step two is about making the message relevant, right?
Step two. Segment your audience based on intent and engagement. This goes way beyond just demographics or firmographics. You have to divide your leads based on what they do, what they click on, what pages they visit, what content they download.
So tailor the journey based on their digital body language.
Exactly. Someone clicking on case studies, they get emails highlighting proof and results. Someone looking at pricing, boom, they enter a sequence focused on ROI, value justification, maybe competitive comparisons. This needs a conditional logic built into your automation tool.
Right. Using their actions to anticipate their needs. Makes sense. Okay, step three is the communication itself. How do you structure these automated sequences so they don't feel, well, robotic?
Good question. Step three, craft multi-step automated nurture sequences that prioritize education over selling, especially early on. Build credibility first. Think maybe 80% value, 20% positioning initially, and crucially, use branching logic.
Branching logic, explain that.
It means the sequence adapts. If a prospect clicks a high-intent link in email 2, say, request a demo info they shouldn't get email 3, which might be a more basic educational piece, the system should automatically skip them ahead to email 4, maybe the one with a soft call to action or offering a consultation. It adapts to their speed.
Okay, that sounds powerful, but also complex. How do we know when someone's actually ready for sales? Because annoying a hot lead with more nurture emails is a big fail.
That brings us to the linchpin, step four. Implement sophisticated lead scoring and define your MQL. MQL meaning marketing qualified lead. You assign points for high value actions, viewing key pages, replying, clicking certain links, and critically, you need score decay.
Score decay, so points expire.
Yes. A lead who looked hot 6 weeks ago but hasn't engaged since. Their score should drop. They're not an MQL today. The MQL definition has to be a specific score threshold that marketing and sales have agreed on. Sales needs to trust that score implicitly.
Ah, that trust is vital. If sales doesn't believe the MQLs are good, they'll just ignore them and go back to cold outreach, breaking the whole efficiency model.
Couldn't agree more. Which makes step five absolutely critical.
And that is.
Step five, seamlessly transfer those validated MQLs to sales. The second a lead hits that agreed MQL score, the system must instantly sync them to the CRM. Not just the contact info, but their score, their key engagement history, everything.
So the salesperson has immediate context for an effective follow-up.
Exactly. Full context, targeted follow-up. It's the ultimate expression of Tubin's demand for searchable, actionable intel.
And we should definitely mention, none of this works without clean fuel. Things like specialized list building services, making sure the data is accurate, compliant, that's foundational.
Oh, absolutely non-negotiable. Garbage in, garbage out, especially with automation. Yeah, that data integrity piece, yeah. You just can't overstate it. You could have the fanciest automation platform, but if your data is junk, you're just automating mistakes faster. To really make this B2B growth engine work, you need three pillars working together, interdependently.
Okay, let's break down this triad. What's the first pillar? The foundation.
Pillar one is data intelligence. This is the maybe less glamorous but essential work, continuously collecting, verifying, cleaning, and categorizing your contact data, making sure emails are valid, enriching with company details, checking against suppression lists, ensuring compliance.
And the outcome of getting that right.
Measurably higher deliverability. Better engagement rates because you're actually reaching the right person in the right role.
Right.
Less waste.
Okay, solid foundation. Pillar two builds on that clean data.
Pillar two is the automation technology. This is the engine itself, the platform that actually deploys those complex behavior-triggered sequences we talked about. It needs to respond instantly to those intent signals. And crucially, it needs deep integration with the CRM.
And the outcome here is speed and efficiency.
Exactly. Increased velocity in your sales pipeline. You convert interested prospects faster with fewer manual touches needed from sales or marketing. It scales your best efforts.
Right. Data, technology. What's the final indispensable piece?
Pillar three is human strategy. Technology and data are tools. They need direction. This is where your team's insight comes in. Crafting genuinely compelling email copy, designing the overall nurture strategy, interpreting the results, refining the segmentation logic when things aren't working. That requires human intelligence and creativity.
So the humans steer the machine.
Precisely. The outcome here is building authentic connections, providing real value, and ultimately driving that impressive ROI we talked about. This whole triad data tech strategy, it really mirrors Cuban's core idea. Mm. Automate the repetition, standardize the process, and focus human energy only where it adds the most value.
A system built for trust, targeted impact, and serious efficiency. Mm. Hashtag tag outro. So, wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway from this deep dive? We've seen pretty clearly that email isn't dead. Far from it. It's still the king of B2B relationship building. It's direct. It's trusted. And that ROI, well, it speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And automation isn't just about sending more stuff. It's the multiplier. It makes sure every interaction is relevant, timely, based on actual behavior. Mm-hmm. And Mark Cuban dropping $100 million based on email pitches, that just validates the whole model.
It absolutely does. And scalability, doing this effectively as you grow, it all comes back to having clean, accurate data and really smart targeted segmentation. Those lists are everything. And maybe thinking bigger picture for a second, email is basically the plumbing, the fundamental infrastructure of how serious business gets done online today, the B2B leaders of tomorrow. They won't be defined by how many cold calls their teams make.
No.
No. They'll be defined by the measurable efficiency and effectiveness of their automated, personalized digital outreach systems. It's about building an engine that converts attention into revenue without wasting energy.
So, a final thought for everyone listening. If a billionaire like Mark Cuban trusts an email pitch enough to invest millions, sometimes without even a meeting, what assumptions are you holding about your own communication, about needing meetings for trust, or about the real potential of your digital outreach? Maybe it's time to question those assumptions and think about building your own efficient Cuban-style engine.